Well, good morning, and we welcome you into a Memorial Day edition of My Car Guru. Hope everyone is enjoying their Monday so far. Of course, it's probably not accurate, by the way, to say Happy Memorial Day, because Memorial Day is a very sacred, solemn type of occasion, where it used to be Decoration Day, you know, where you decorate the graves of those that committed the ultimate sacrifice and suffered the ultimate sacrifice for their country and giving their lives. And so I guess you wouldn't say Happy Memorial Day. We just hope folks are having a nice one.
No, you know, it can be a happy day.
It can.
If you know
it
where
can.
Those fallen are.
Sure, it can. And, absolutely.
You know, that's, and I don't look at it just as for military people. I look for anybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity to reflect on those that you encountered in life, whether you loved them or liked them or whatever. They aren't here anymore, and you are able to find a way to carry on. I had a, you know, you and I both lost children, and there's a lot of people will look at that scenario and they'll say, I don't know how you survived that. And if you were to ask you or me, I said, well, I don't know how I did either. I just did.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't, there really was no alternative. You know, because there are other children, there's other relationships, there's responsibilities.
You have to carry on for the rest of your family. But I'm sure you would agree with me. There were days where it felt like I was just, especially early on after it happened, where I was just kind of going through the motions of the day.
You can't breathe hardly. You know, I mean, it's all you can do to even just move.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there are, you look, hopefully you have enough anchors in your life of things that you can grab a hold of when you start falling into that pit, that you can reach out and grab a hold of something.
And faith is number one.
Faith is number one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but once you do lose somebody and you want to honor their memory, the best way to honor their memory is to live well.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because they would want you to.
Is to witness and really understand that you will see them again. I truly believe that. That has sustained me throughout this, that
no question,
that I know that I will see him again, and you will see your boy again.
Absolutely.
So. And but I want to see my dad too. You know, I want to see my granddaddy Hoke. You know, I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to all of that. But anyway, it is a day that is a traditional stay at home, grill out, that kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
And but it's also a shopping day, right? It's a lot of. In my business in particular, we're open when other businesses are closed in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, though. I've seen there's been some dealers come in to the Tri-Cities that are really aggressive. They come out of other markets, and they open on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I have resisted doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used to have laws against opening on Sunday, didn't they?
Yeah, so you're like Chick-fil-A. You're closed on Sunday.
Yeah, and it's really not for religious purposes. I mean, I could say that, but that's not really it. It's traditional. I just think that everybody needs a degree of family time. I don't, you know, sometimes I feel guilty asking my salespeople, so how was your weekend? Yeah, well, they worked on Saturday.
Because they
worked
Saturday.
They worked till late on Friday. They worked all day Saturday. And then they got Sunday off. That's not much of a weekend.
So you do it a lot for your employees.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've just, now at some point, maybe out of, because of the need to survive or whatever, maybe at some point we'll have to open. But, you know, and you'll just have to mitigate that with a work schedule of some kind. You know, when you walk into a car dealership, just know that those salespeople that are working on that floor, they work long hours.
Mm-hmm.
They come to work at 8:30 in the morning. Some of them get there early so that they can help customers in the service lane. Those are the guys that you know that they're committed, and they'll be there on Friday night. They could be there till 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and they've got small kids at home.
Yeah,
and they've got a wife that's frustrated, you know, because they're working,
and
nobody else. You know, a lot of other people, if they work at another 9-to-5 job, their husbands are home out there mowing grass, swinging the kids on the swing, and doing that kind of stuff. And you got these car salespeople that are working today. You know, you're at home. And you know, I know that sometimes I talk about there are bandits in this business. There are people who break the law, and bend the rules and you know, don't care anything about ethics. They're just in it to make money. But the vast majority of them are good, honest people. They just work really long hours. And when they come to work on the first day of the month, they have no idea what they're going to make that month. Mm-hmm. It's not like you who have a guaranteed $5,000 salary or, mm-hmm. you know, if you show up at work, you're going to get $10, $15, $20 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
When you add that degree of uncertainty into your life where you don't know what you're going to make,
right?
You know, that's a level of pressure that a lot of people don't, you know, couldn't handle. But a really good salesperson knows that he's going to make it. He knows that if he executes his business plan, if he puts the customer first, if he does real quality walk around presentations, building value in the car, you know, if he understands proper negotiating skills and works with the customer, then and he's got a good dealership behind him, you know, that is going to support him from a service standpoint,
mm-hmm.
and then he knows that he's going to do okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, he looks at his W-2 last year, and he says, okay, I did it last year, then I can do it again this year. I just need to execute the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wish I could tell you who those people are, because, you know, I really don't know them. I mean, they may be working at Wallace and, you know, selling Subarus. They may be working at Friendship selling Hyundais, or Champion selling Chevrolets. A Gateway selling Fords and Nissans. You know, you don't, but you kind of know them when you run into them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can sense. There's this word that I use a lot. It's called jicky. Have you ever heard that word? When somebody's really jicky. You know, when they're just real flippant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they are, you know, overly enthusiastic,
mm-hmm.
and. You know, they say things that just don't have the ring of truth to them. You know, when you run into people like that, you can sense, most people can sense that.
Sure, yeah.
You know, if you run into that jicky salesperson that seems that way, you're going to know it pretty quickly. And I don't know what to tell you to do other than just to, you know, close the transaction and walk away. My recommendation to most people is to go in, find the receptionist. If salesperson waits on you, just say, no, I just need to, I'm looking for somebody. Who are you looking for? So I need to talk to your receptionist. Okay, so go to the receptionist and make sure the salespeople clear out and say, mm-hmm. ma'am, if you don't mind, or it could be a guy, say, I need to know, of all the people that sell cars in this dealership, who would you want to buy a car from?
Mm-hmm.
Because she knows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She knows who answers the phone when she pages them.
Right.
She knows who is nice to his customers. She knows who, you know, has been there a while, mm-hmm. and knows the ropes of the dealership and gets things done. The receptionist knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
So go ask her, or go to the parts department or to a service advisor. You know, that's another good person,
mm-hmm.
is asked to see a service advisor and say, sir, I'm not a customer here. I'm thinking about buying a car here. If you were buying a car here, which salesperson would you want to buy a car from? And they'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a little insider information.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some more insider information right after this break.
All right. We'll be right back. All right. We're back here on this Monday edition of My Car Guru. It might not feel like Monday to everybody since it is Memorial Day. But again,
some people are working.
Gateway is open today. Yep.
You know, people are working that because and it may be other businesses that they're working too. It's not just car dealers, you know, Walmart,
right.
Different. And if you're in retail, you work when other people are off many times, right?
Because it's...
Don't feel sorry for them, though, because there should be a trade-off there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to work extra hours, you should make more money.
Yeah, usually, if you work over hours or more hours.
Yeah, you should be rewarded for your efforts.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about things that can happen in a car dealership that... And things, if you're in the market to buy a car, you need to be sensitive to these types of things. And we reviewed multiple ones yesterday. Today we're going to talk about just some fundamental things that you need to look out for. Forgot, you know, I just think that people forget how important it is to, when you're buying a car, you're spending a lot of money. You're not just spending $400 a month. You could be spending $40,000, okay? I mean, people look at it, they condense it down to, well, what's this costing me per day, per month, or so forth? And that's the way a salesperson, especially an unscrupulous salesperson, wants you to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to look at it like, well, it's no big deal, you know, it's just a $50,000 car, or it's just $345 a month, you know, with your significant down payment.
Mm-hmm.
So don't skip the really important steps, like the test drive. You know, some test drives will start with the salesperson driving first, and that's not a bad strategy, is even just ask the salesperson to drive first. Let me tell you what that does for you. It lets you relax. You know, you've been driving the same car for 10 years, and you're jumping into a brand new car, merging onto Highway 11E with cars going every which direction, and your thought is, gosh, I hope I don't wreck this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Let the salesperson drive first. That way you get to hear the stereo, you get to hear, you know, listen for road noise, you get to feel vibrations and stuff like that. You get to really evaluate the comfort of the seats and look at the dash and the instruments. You don't have to concentrate on the road and not running into something.
Right.
You know, go out to where you can enjoy some of the ambiance of the car, okay? Mm-hmm. Go about 4 or 5 miles and say, okay, I want to drive down. I mean, you can just say, Mr. Salesperson, how about you driving first? I'm going to be a passenger. I want to see what this is like. And then maybe even get in the back seat and see what it's like back there. Or have your kids get in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
Let the salesperson drive first. Now, that is a strategy that a lot of dealerships want their salespeople to do, too, because they know it has a good impact on the customer. It lets them relax, and it lets them really feel the car and see what's going on.
Let me ask you a side note. Now, you mentioned kids. Let's say your kids are younger than 6, 5, something like that. Is that a good idea to take kids, really young kids, on a test drive with you?
I think so, because you want them to like the car too, and, and you want to make sure that they
I'm just worried about Yeah, I'm just worried about distractions. Like if you're really listening for noise.
No, and if the kids are screaming, and you know you got to put a car seat in a car, so it's best leave the kids with grandma.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And if the kids are going to be disruptive, but if they're teenagers and things like that, they can also lead you down the wrong path.
Yeah.
Hey, Mom, get that orange one. You know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to please our kids, but this is your car, right? This is the one you're going to be driving every day. They don't have to pay for it. Mm. You do.
Right.
So, you know, it's a very good point, Tim, and I'll give you 7 points for that comment.
Okay.
Another thing for you to keep in mind is the dealership is making less money on the car than you think they are. Okay, now there are ways that they can really enhance that profit and make what seems like a big profit to them. But to you, you know, I've had people think that you know, I sell an F-150 for $60,000, I'm making $25,000, you know.
And there's probably some preconceived notions from a lot of people coming into the deal anyway that they think you're making a killing off of a certain vehicle, right?
Yeah, I mean, profit margins for dealers are typically in the 4 to 6% range.
Mm-hmm. That's not a killing.
No, that's not a killing.
Mm-hmm.
And now if they're charging over MSRP or they're not giving you enough for your trade-in, then that's ways that they can enhance the profit. They can take a 4% profit margin and turn it into a 10% profit margin if you didn't do your research and understand basically what your car is really worth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, it's that salesperson or sales manager that tries to get you focused on just on the monthly payment is where you're going to get taken advantage of. You know, car dealers get their cars from the factory if they're new car dealers. If they're used cars, they either trade for them or they buy them at the auction. It's important if you're looking at a used car to go ahead and have the salesperson pull the Experian Carfax or the Experian Auto Check. We use a program called Auto Check that does the same thing as Carfax. Pull that Carfax report, review it. It's pretty straightforward language on that report. Don't let them pull the basic report. Make sure they pull the deluxe report.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the deluxe report shows even open recalls and there's a lot more information on a used car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Understand that if your credit score is under 600, you can expect to get a pretty high interest rate. These 1.9 rates and 2.9 and stuff like that. I mean, if your score is 550, or something like that, you're going to pay a much higher interest rate. This stuff where you see 0% financing for 84 months, that's not for you.
Not for you. Okay.
Now, sometimes the captive lenders, when I say captive lender, that is like Ford Motor Credit for a Ford dealer. That's like what GMAC used to be for a GM dealer. Now it's called, I think, Ally Finance does their, or GM Financial, or I don't know what they call it now. Toyota Credit, Nissan Credit. Mm-hmm. These are called the captive finance companies. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they will go, whether you're a tier one buyer with incredible credit or a tier four, they'll go down pretty deep in the tiers to offer the 0% financing, as long as other things are in place, like enough, like not a real high debt to income ratio or something like that. They're looking at a bigger picture and trying to include more buyers for the special financing. But if you're going through a bank, expect another thing I wanted to think about, I want you to think about too. This is where, when a person has a low Beacon score and a salesperson is taking a credit app, this is where, if they have you sign the credit app, make sure that the income line is filled in before you sign it. We talked about that the other day. This is where a lot of dealers, if you have bad credit, you don't have anything down, they're going to try to engineer a deal where your debt to income is not as bad as it looks. Mm-hmm. So they put a fake income number on there. Like if you're making $2,000 a month, they may put that you're making $5,000 a month. Mm. Now, Lenny, isn't that illegal? Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not always caught. I mean, who's going to catch it?
Very unscrupulous.
Yes, it is illegal, and that person can go to jail for doing that. Going through this list of things, when you bring a friend with you, I think that's probably a good thing to do, is to bring somebody that's more knowledgeable with you. If you haven't done any shopping online, and what the dealership calls that, salespeople call that the quarterback. Okay, so that's the person that's like your cousin Susie, who's bought a bunch of cars and has really good credit and is there to protect you and your interests, and you don't know anything. Cousin Susie's the quarterback. And the salesperson ignores the quarterback at their expense, okay? Because you always got to sell the quarterback. Now, a salesperson, because basically if you don't sell the quarterback, the buyer is not going to buy the car.
Well, I think about, say, if you have a daughter in her 20s, maybe, and she's going out to buy a vehicle, and she's in a position where she can do it now, a lot of times she may ask her dad to go along with her, you know.
And dad needs to be prepared and understand, if he hadn't bought a car in 15 or 20 years, he can get taken advantage of just like the daughter can.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so it's important still to be armed with the information before you walk into the store. Another thing I always recommend to car buyers is, do not be hesitant to walk, to leave and go home and say, I want to think about it.
Right.
Now, what a salesperson may say to you is, well, what exactly do you want to think about? Is there some other information that I can share with you? Do you have any other questions? And you may say, well, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I really like that color. Mm-hmm. Or are there any other colors available? Stuff like that. One thing to keep in mind right now, if it's not on the dealer's lot, more than likely right now they're not going to be able to trade for it, to get it for you.
Right.
We sell a lot of vehicles on dealer trade. Mm-hmm. Like you want a red F-150 and we only have three silver ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year, this time, or 2 years ago, that's no problem. We just go in the locator, find a red one, dealer trade it, and it's done. Right now, most dealers have locked down their dealer trades and they're not selling anything off their lot unless it's to a retail customer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of other things you need to be aware of. Just make sure you understand your credit, what you can buy a car for, do the research online, and then what your vehicle is worth. And don't focus on the monthly payment, because that's the way they're going to take advantage of you today if you're in the market to buy a car.
All right. We'll be back with the final portion of My Car Guru right after this. All right, we're back here, My Car Guru, as we wrap things up on this holiday today.
Don't get frustrated when you go in to buy a new Honda today. And after you've committed, after you've signed the paperwork, you come out of the finance office, what do you want to do, Tim? You want to go home.
You want to go home, no question.
Don't be frustrated if they've got to spend another 30, 40 minutes with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because these new cars are complicated. And you can say, well, I'll figure all that stuff out. You don't want to figure it out when you're going down the road.
Right.
You know, and you don't know how to turn your headlights on. Okay. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to turn your windshield wipers on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where your emergency flashers are. Let the dealer or the salesperson start at the door and work their way across the dash and explain everything and also what's on the console. Because there's a lot of stuff there. And these infotainment systems, you know, this big screen that's mm-hmm. in the middle, there is so many different pages and menus and stuff that you go through. Don't try to figure that out when you're going down the road. You know, let's say you buy today, this weekend maybe, you might have time to sit down with the owner's manual and go through it and figure out how everything works and find it mm-hmm. yourself. Don't hesitate to call the dealership and say, hey, can I come back for a refresher course?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't even get my phone synced up. Will you help me sync my phone up?
Yeah.
You know, the dealership, don't be embarrassed to go back and tell them that you need a little help and assistance, because they'll be more than happy to do that. I love doing that for people.
Yeah.
Just saying, well, I didn't know this thing had a tilt steering wheel. You know, that kind of stuff. It's just stuff that you need to know that will make owning the car a whole lot better.
I would imagine that even if they go over everything with you, it's still probably a good idea to refresh your memory by going through the manual once you get back.
See, to us, it's second nature. We know where all these buttons are and what all I do. And there's a lot. We just don't appreciate how much volume of material that you have to learn when you buy a new car. It's a totally different experience, and you need to take it seriously.
The days are gone where you just had to figure out where the cigarette lighter was.
That's right. Or whatever. Exactly right. Yeah. Timmy.
All right, we hope everybody enjoys their holiday today. We will talk to you again tomorrow on My Car Guru.